In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's Mass is being offered for the repose of the soul of Mary Jane Bunce, who died just a few weeks ago, and Tara Martinez of the class of 2006. Please do continue to keep in your prayers our sister Angelica, who's continuing her recovery, as well as Monsignor Bowman and Father Tony Mondragon. I just found out that he's recovering from a fall. That's what it is. Antonio Mondragon was the one who gave me my first Holy Communion, the longtime pastor of Saint San Jose in Anton Chico. So please continue to pray for these good priests. Just as an announcement before we begin, I may or may not make an appeal later on at the end of Mass, but remember, as we have our big Mass in PDL on Friday, the traditional Latin Mass is going to be there, we actually need some help. We just discovered today, Fabian and I were taking care of the church, which is in great condition. We set it up there, but the hall is less than great condition, quite bad condition. And so if there's anybody those of you who are here, or anybody who happens to be free tomorrow to be able to help us really go to town on cleaning that place, it's really in a bad state. If you can help out with that, please let me know, and or let Lucy know, so that we can be able to do so. It's going to take quite a bit of work to get it ready to do so. It just wasn't kept up for a long period of time. I appreciate that. Today we have this great feast of St. Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, these great archangels that we have here. But because we're not going to be able to have Mass together, at least not a normal daily Mass for those of the guardian angels, whose feast day is this upcoming Saturday, the 2nd, since we won't have that opportunity to come to you as we normally do, I need to tell you a little bit about the angels as well. One thing is that the angels themselves are spiritual beings, those who are pure spirit themselves. And unlike you and me, as St. Thomas talks about, the individuating principle of all human beings is our matter. Each of us, all you who are here, we have the exact same nature, which is to be human. Our nature is one in this way. But the angels have the angelic nature, but they have no matter, which is an individuating principle. So if it were not, since they don't have matter, each one of their natures is different from each other. So we talk about the angelic nature, but it really is angelic natures in the plural. So every single angel is absolutely different, not in degree, but different in totally in kind from each other. They are of greater intellects and less great intellects. They are of greater stature or smaller stature than each one. All of them are absolutely and completely different from one another. There's nothing the same about them other than that they are pure spirit being created by God, for himself, for his glory. That's what the angels are. Now, I want to share with you something of the angels given, and I didn't write down the source. I just know that I'm pretty sure that he's an 18th or 17th century French scholar who was writing about this nature of the angels here. And I'll share that with you a little bit about the angels. He says, compared with our natures, how calm and how luminous is the knowledge of pure spirits. They are not doomed to intricate discoursings of our reason, which runs after truth and composes and analyzes and laboriously draws conclusions from premises. Meaning the way you and I have to reason to find out facts, they don't work like that at all. How do they work? They work in this way. They instantaneously apprehend the whole of all primary truths. Their intuition is so prompt, so lively, so penetrating, that is it impossible for them to ever be surprised as we are, or driven into error like we so often are. If they deceive themselves, it must be of their own will, meaning that if they're deceived ever, they wish to be deceived. That's the reason why, and that's what we get with the corrupted angels, the angels of darkness. Moving on, their perfection of their will is equal to the perfection of their intellect. So just as they know something, just so perfect are they able to desire and move toward that good, which is there, which is not like you and me. We can know exactly what's right and then choose not to do it. I do that quite often. I don't know if you're like that as well. Further on, how are the angels different? They know not what is to be disturbed by the violence of their appetites. Their love is without emotion. Their hatred of evil is as calm as and wisely tempered as is their love. So rather than when you and I get all worked up in a rage and sometimes choose wrongly, often so, they see that and let that emotion of movement so calmly drive them toward that which is good. And their will is so free that we can know no perplexity as to its aims, no inconsistencies to its resolutions. Whereas with us, long and anxious meditation is always necessary before we make any decision. It is the property of the angels to determine by a single act of the object of their choice. God so proposed them as he does us in infinite beatitude in the vision of his own essence. And it is fit for them so great to an end that he endowed them with a grace at that same time as he gave them being. And in one instant, They said yes, or they said no. And in one instant, they freely and deliberately decided their own fate. That's why the angels were so quickly kicked out of heaven when they chose God, or chose not God, where they were totally confirmed in their virtue and entered into that beatitude for which they were made instantly, or left heaven altogether in that instant. Because there can be nothing but total determination in their will. But you and I have the opportunity to learn and to gradually grow. And so for us, there's an opportunity for God's grace to enter into us, for forgiveness to happen, for a conversion of our own desires, which is there. But don't for a moment be jealous of the angels, because the angels are jealous of you and me. What are they jealous in you and me of? Some of you are smiling because you know I've mentioned it many times. They're jealous of you and me because for all eternity, just like you were before this Mass, they were gazing and they gaze at the great gift which God has given us, the sacrament of His love, the Eucharist. They gaze in adoration of our Lord who is there and wonder how could He do such a marvelous deed such as this, to become flesh in this way. And they're jealous of you and me because never in their entire existence will they ever be able to receive the Lord in the Eucharist. They're jealous of us for that. For we, as far lower than the angels, maybe just a little less than they are, have a great privilege far beyond they can ever imagine, to be able to take God and receive it into themselves, just as you and I are able to do when we receive our Lord so blessedly in the sacrament, when we ourselves are in the state of grace and well-disposed. Be not jealous of the angels, for you have a dignity which is so greater than that, and one of our own race reigns as queen of all of them. That's our mother, the queen of the angels. And so too, we have the fairest honor of all races. She is our race as well. St. Michael the Archangel is a great defender in us. And I share with you the single insight that I readily received just a few moments before in adoration today. I was asking our Lord over and over again, why is it that Michael is the one who is able to be put in charge of all your armies? Why is it that he is the one who is able to destroy Satan? Why is it that Michael is the one who you have put there? And so over and over again, I prayed with the name of Michael. Which means what? Michael? Who is like God? Have you pondered that? Who is like God? When I prayed today, and I think it was a divine insight which was granted, I had not read this anywhere, so it's just me. But who is like God is the approach that Michael makes to God. And if he consistently is a movement of saying with the whole of his being, who is like God? Well, that's the exact opposite of that which is opposed to God. To God's enemies, who say, I will to be like the Most High. I will rise and climb to His place. I will make myself greater than He, as was the movement of Satan, and so followed all his apostate angels. And so Michael continually, through the greatness of his humility, he is named for his humility. And so his humility is the one thing which the evil one cannot defend against, because it's the one thing he does not understand, because that is the one tool about which can never be uttered from his being, and so he is utterly defenseless toward it. And so Michael, in his continual proposition of who could ever be like God, is able to destroy all the works of the evil one. And so too, when you and I take that great state, which is the same thing that raised our mother, the fairest honor of our race, to so high a height as to receive Christ in her very person and make him present in our world, in her fiat, that it be done unto me according to your word, I am but the handmaid of the Lord, so too shares in that defeating of Satan, and so privileged as we see her here, trampling on the evil serpent, the Satan. Let's ask our Lord for that great gift of humility as Michael, who says, who is like God, protects us with that mighty weapon of humility. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.